सुंदराम जय जय नारायण
Yeah. श्याम सुंदर की जय, श्री श्री गौरनिधार की जय, श्री शिवरात्रि महोत्सव की जय, निताय गौ प्रेमा और गौरी श्री असंबल और गौरी श्री असंबल और गौरी श्री असंबल और गौरी from the Lord, and he is also a great devotee of the Lord, his worship for the proper understanding of his relationship to Krishna is always beneficial. But nevertheless, on this particular day, it is considered even more beneficial. Lord Shiva is a great mystery. Just like Lord Krishna is a mystery, but Lord Shiva is also a mystery. And there are many, many misunderstandings about him. There are many who consider Lord Shiva to be the absolute supreme truth, the all in all. There are others who deride Lord Shiva. Both are mistaken. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu went to South India for pilgrimage, he saw the Shaivites and the Vaishnavites quarreling. Some of the Vaishnavas were deriding the position of Lord Shiva, and the followers of Lord Shiva were deriding the position of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Nityananda simply laughed to see all this unnecessary quarrel and ignorance. One who really understands the position of Lord Shiva can see how great he is, how exalted he is, how worshipable he is for us. At the same time, the correct understanding is that he is also not independent of Krishna. So the evening today, Dinabandhu Prabhu is going to talk to us, going to narrate many pastimes that Lord Shiva had in Vrindavan and what is his position here in Vrindavan, in Braj. So today, in the morning, we're going to basically talk a little more about tattva, about philosophy. Because generally we don't hear too much about the philosophy or the philosophical or the ontological position of Lord Shiva. We all know that the process of creation of this material world takes place through the glance of Mahavishnu. Far away in the spiritual world, where there are innumerable spiritual planets, there is a chief planet of Goloka Vrindavan, where the original Supreme Lord Sri Krishna or Govinda resides. And he has innumerable expansions to preside over the different Vaikuntha planets. And then from all these different expansions, there is a whole sequence that is given in our scriptures. Eventually there is Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is a gigantic form of the Lord. He resides, he lies in the causal ocean, the Karana Sagar. And from the pores of his skin, the different material universes emanate. Mahavishnu is the first form of the Lord who is actually in connection with the material creation. So the place where he lies is actually the borderline, the causal ocean. It is the borderline between the material world and the spiritual world. And it is this Mahavishnu or Karanodakashaya Vishnu who not only generates the universes but also he enters into each universe as Garbhodakashaya Vishnu and eventually as Kshirodakashaya Vishnu, who is present in the heart of every living being and also inside every atom. Now, although the Supreme Lord is omnipotent, completely independent, and he doesn't need anything or anyone to accomplish his purposes, nevertheless, he uses his unlimited and diverse potencies or energies to do what he wishes to do. Parapti Shakti Vidhaiva Shuyate Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. The Upanishads say that Lord Krishna has innumerable potencies and they are always at his beck and call. And simply by his very desire alone, all these potencies accomplish what Krishna wishes to do. So this is the meaning of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, his desire for setting about the material creation also happens simply by his desire. But to fulfill his desires, his energies are also at play. Lord Mahavishnu resides in the causal ocean in Yoga Nidra. His Nidra or sleep is not like ours. When we sleep, we are in the mode of ignorance. But the Lord is forever in complete transcendental perfect consciousness at any stage, whether he apparently so-called in sleep or not. So as he lies there, he is accompanied by his eternal consort, Rama Devi. Now we'll be speaking a little bit from the Brahma Samhita. Generally devotees don't read it because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's English is so high that it is very difficult to understand. But somehow if you read it carefully, you will see there is a lot of wonderful information that is given here. And Srila Prabhupada is of course quoted so profusely from the Brahma Samhita. So he is accompanied, Mahavishnu is accompanied by his eternal consort Rama Devi, just as Mahavishnu is ultimately the expansion of, or the expansion of the expansion of Lord Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Similarly, Rama Devi is also an expansion of ultimately of Radharani, but through Yoga Maya. Just as Yoga Maya oversees the affairs of the jivas in the spiritual world, similarly, it is Rama Devi's expansion or reflection, Mahamaya, who oversees the affairs of the jivas in the material creation. So Rama Devi is completely spiritual. She is the eternal consort of the Lord. And it is her reflection or her expansion who is Maya, what we commonly call Maya in this world, Mahamaya, Durga Devi. So Lord Mahavishnu glances at this Mahamaya or Durga Devi. But as it is described many times in the scriptures, the Lord does not directly associate with Mahamaya. His contact with Mahamaya is always indirect. And he contacts Mahamaya through the agency of a personality whom Brahmaji in the Brahma Samhita says is Shambhu. That Shambhu is the original Lord Shiva. Because Lord Vishnu is entirely transcendental, he doesn't directly touch the material energy, Maya. In the unmanifest stage, this material energy is called Pradhan. Pradhan is the stage where the three modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun and Tamagun, have not yet become manifest. They have not yet differentiated. They are not recognizable as the three modes. However, when the glance of Lord Mahavishnu falls upon this Pradhan, then it starts getting agitated. It starts getting differentiated. And it forms the Mahatattva. The Mahatattva eventually forms the false ego. And then the false ego is classified in the three modes, and so on the creation takes place, as it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other scriptures. So Mahavishnu, being the Supreme Lord and being omnipotent, can accomplish anything he wishes, any way he likes, with any of his transcendental senses. We have experienced every day when we offer foodstuffs to the Lord that he eats with his eyes. Angan yasya sakalendriya vritti matti. With any of his limbs, Krishna can perform the activities that are supposedly to be performed by the other limbs. So we generally eat with our mouth, but Krishna can eat with his eyes, and his eating is as complete, as perfect and as satisfying to him as eating with the mouth. When we only eat with the mouth, with the eyes, then it is not satisfying. We have to eat with the mouth to be satisfied. But because Krishna is complete and perfect, his eating with the eyes also completely satisfies him. So simply by glancing, Krishna is able to create the material world. The creation process in the material world is seen as a combination of the male and the female. The male and the female come together and the procreation takes place and the child is born. So similarly, material nature of Mahamaya is considered the mother of all the conditioned living entities within this material world. So then who is the father? Is Krishna not the father? Yes, ultimately. So is Mahavishnu not the father? Yes, ultimately. But even Mahavishnu does not directly impregnate Mahamaya. And the agency that he uses for impregnation of Maya is Shambhu. So who is this Shambhu? According to Brahma Samhita, Brahma is the Mahajan, is a great authority, and in fact he is the father of Lord Shiva in this material world. He says that this personality Shambhu is the reflection or the halo of this glass. The halo means it is some kind of a reflection. So Shambhu is the personality who actually impregnates Mahamaya. And how does this take place? Again, Brahmaji describes here that when Lord Mahavishnu wishes to glance at material nature, his consort, Ramadevi, understands his desire. And she carries his glance in the form of time. You remember that in the creation process, time is a very important aspect. At every stage of the creation, time has to play a role. So Ramadevi carries the glance of Mahavishnu in the form of time and hands it over to Shambhu, the reflected halo of the glance of Mahavishnu, who then goes ahead and impregnates Mahamaya or Durga Devi, who is his consort. Just as Ramadevi is the consort of Mahavishnu, similarly Durga Devi or Mahamaya is the consort of Shambhu. So please remember, we are still at the Mahavishnu level. The universes haven't even been formed yet. Even Mahavishnu has not generated all the universes yet for the simple reason that the modes of nature have not got differentiated yet. So Shambhu, the husband of Mahamaya, consorts with her, and in that the jivas who are to take birth in this world and time factor are both impregnated there. And then gradually the whole sequence of creation takes place. One can explain this with a very simple analogy. Lord Mahavishnu is like the electric powerhouse. Ramadevi is his Shakti. It is the electricity coming out from the electric powerhouse. And then the electricity, when it comes out of the powerhouse, needs some wire medium to transmit it, like a copper wire. So Shambhu is that copper wire. And then that copper wire transmits the electricity to some object, some instruments, which gets electrified. So Mahamaya or Maya Devi is that electrified object. So ultimately the energy is coming from the Lord. Shambhu, on behalf of the Lord, procreates. So Shambhu is the father of all living entities, just as Mahamaya is the mother of all living entities. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sarva Yoneshu Kaunteya Mootaya Sambhavantiya Tasam Brahma Matyomir Aham Bija Pradarpita. In this verse he explains a very important point, that he is the seed-giving father of all the species of life, Sarva Yoneshu. And he is the seed-giving father, Bija Pradarpita, the father who gives the seed. So actually it is Krishna who is the original seed, but Krishna acts as a father through his agent, Shambhu. So Shambhu acts as the father of all the living entities, as the father of this material world, on behalf of Lord Mahavishnu, who is acting on behalf of his sources. Eventually everyone acts on behalf of Krishna. So Krishna is the ultimate doer, but he has many agents who perform his function on his behalf to fulfill his desires, to please him. So Shambhu also acts as the father of the material creation for the pleasure of his worshipable Lord. So this is the position of Shambhu. This Shambhu originally is an expansion of Lord Sadashiv in Vaikuntha. That is also explained by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the purport. That as I mentioned, on each of the Vaikuntha planets, there is a four-armed form of the Lord. And on one particular planet, there is an expansion of the Lord called Sadashiv. So this Sadashiv expands as Shambhu. So another name of Shambhu is Sadashiv. And this Shambhu, who is present with Mahavishnu, further expands into each and every universe when the universes are created, and he becomes a Shiva in each universe. So there are many, many universes in this material creation, unlimited universes. And in each universe, there is a Brahmaji, there is a Shiva, and there is a Vishnu. Just as that one Mahavishnu expands himself to form so many Garbhodakshaya Vishnus, each in one universe, similarly, this original Shambhu Tattva expands himself to become Lord Shiva in each of the universes. And just as when the universes are destroyed, the Garbhodakshaya Vishnus come back into Mahavishnu, similarly, the Shivas also come back into the Shambhu Tattva. In this way, the Lord has made arrangements for the creation of the material world and eventually for the maintenance and destruction also. So Lord Shambhu has a very important role to play in the creation process. And within every universe, then this Shambhu, as Lord Shiva, at the time of the universal destruction also plays an important role. He performs his dance, which is called the Tandava Nritya, playing his Damru instrument. And then the whole destruction of the universe takes place. So this is the importance of Lord Shambhu in the process of creation as well as destruction. To read more about how Lord Shambhu participates in the creation process, you can read the Brahma Samhita. And to understand more about how Lord Shiva participates in the destruction process of the universe, you can read the various sections in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, Lord Shiva is a very, very special personality. And we have often heard that Lord Shiva is simultaneously one and different from the Supreme Lord. So how is it so? How do we understand this phenomenon of Lord Shiva being simultaneously one and different from the Supreme Lord? So let us see in this very famous verse, which Srila Prabhupada chanted many times, we will understand this principle. This is also from the Brahma Samhita. So let us chant this together.
Shiram yatha prati vikara vishesha yogah.
One by one, you chant the line responsibly. You chant responsibly as we usually do.
Shiram yatha prati vikara vishesha yogah.
Shiram yatha prati vikara vishesha yogah.
Sanjayate nahi tatah prithagasti heto.
Sanjayate nahi tatah prithagasti heto.
Yasham bhutam api tatah samupaiti kaja.
Yasham bhutam api tatah samupaiti kaja.
Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
Govindamadi purusham.
Shiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yoga.
Shiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yoga.
Sanjayate nahi tatah prithagasti heto.
Sanjayate nahi tatah prithagasti heto.
भूतामपि ततः तथा समुकैतिकाय गोविन्दमादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि world and also in the material world, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has actually
elaborated on this principle very, very nicely in all his teachings. So here also we see the principle of Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva coming into play, that Lord Shiva or Shambhu is simultaneously one and different from the Supreme Lord. And the analogy here is very nice, very simple and effective. The analogy of curd, that is yogurt, and milk. Is yogurt different from milk? In one sense, it's the same, because it has come from milk. Just by adding one drop of lemon juice, you transform that milk into curd. So in one sense, the curd is exactly the same as milk, but yet we understand that curd and milk have different forms. Curd is a little solid, whereas milk is completely liquid. When you have stomach upset, then curd and milk have completely different effects. Milk, too much of milk causes loose motions, and curd actually reverses it. So although curd is the same as milk, but obviously it also has its differences. So in the same way, although Lord Shambhu or Lord Shiva is one with the Lord, still there are some differences. What is it that causes the difference between the milk and the curd? There is some adulterating principle, vikar. Vikar means something that changes the nature of something. So here also, we see in this verse, Kshiram yatha dadhi vikar vishesha yoga. Vikar vishesha. So there is some adulterating principle that comes in. Vikar vishesha. That makes the distinction between Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord on one hand, and Lord Shiva on the other hand. What is that adulterating principle? When Krishna expands with Vishnu, there is no adulterating principle. Lord Vishnu always remains in the transcendental position. He is always aloof from the three modes of material nature. So what is it about Lord Shiva that brings about the so-called yogurt or curd effect? So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in the purport here that the adulterating elements are twofold. One is the quality of limitedness of the jiva is to some extent imbibed by this personality, which is not there in Krishna or Vishnu. Vishnu is unlimited. He has no quality of limitedness in him. The jivas are very limited. So some quality of limitedness comes into this new form of Shambhu. Another thing is that Krishna or Vishnu is never influenced by Maya. This is the basic principle of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is always transcendental, never affected by Maya. But Lord Shiva, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says here, is affected to some degree by the stupefying quality of the deluding energy of the Lord. In simple language, what it means is that Lord Shiva also has some tiny effect of the influence of Maya. So because of these two, vikar vishesh, these two adulterating principles, this new personality is not exactly identical with Lord Vishnu or Krishna either. At the same time, because he is an expansion of Lord Sadashiva from Vaikuntha, because he appears in the reflection of the halo of Mahavishnu's gland, so he is the same. At the same time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also says here that he acquires the chit and the ananda qualities from Ramadevi, with whom he comes in touch. Ramadevi, if you remember, passes on the time factor of the jivas through the glands to Shambhu. Yes, now you go and impregnate Mahamaya. So he also takes on the quality of cognition or perfect knowledge and bliss from Ramadevi. In this way we see that Lord Shambhu or Lord Shiva is a little different from Lord Vishnu or Krishna. That is the vishesha, vikara vishesha. And because of this, he becomes Shambhu or something a little different. So Krishna is the origin of Shambhu, and he takes on this form because there is something different between him and Shambhu. Actually, within each and every material universe, Lord Shiva is the departmental head for the mode of ignorance. He is Krishna's destructive potency personified within each universe. Ultimately, as we have described, the creation, sustenance and destruction is done by Krishna alone. But he does it through the medium of different personalities whom he suitably empowers. So Krishna has different kinds of incarnations, and one of those kinds of incarnations is called a guna avatar, the incarnation of the qualities or the modes of material nature. Brahma is the guna avatar for the mode of passion, because for the task of creation, mode of passion is required, and Brahmaji is a secondary creator on behalf of the Lord. And Lord Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance, because to destroy something it requires the mode of ignorance. So he is a departmental head for the mode of ignorance, and because maintaining something is the most difficult, so Vishnu himself takes it. In this world also we have experience at the same point. To destroy is the easiest, to create is difficult, but still it can be done. But to maintain is the most difficult. So Vishnu, among these three guna avatars, is directly the Supreme Lord, but Brahma and Shiva are empowered living beings. Even Brahma is usually a jiva, so he is also in a different category from Lord Shiva. So ontologically, Lord Shiva is superior to Brahma, because Shiva's position is that although he is not a Vishnu tattva, he is neither a jiva tattva. So he is not to be compared to the jiva. He just partakes of some minuscule quality of the jiva. But he is superior to the jiva. So Brahma is a jiva. Shiva is in his Shambhu Tattva category, superior to Brahma ontologically. Although within the universe, Shiva is born as a son of Brahma. But actually he is greater than Brahma. And in this universe, therefore, both of them are also considered to be Shaktyavish avatar. Although they are guna avatar, they are also Shaktyavish or empowered incarnations. Lord Vishnu, as the departmental head for the mode of goodness, is a guna avatar, but he is also a leela avatar. He is an avatar who performs pastimes. But Brahma and Shiva are not leela avatars. They are Shaktyavish avatars. Because they are empowered by the Lord to perform certain functions. So in this way, because of having some contact with the material nature and specifically with the mode of ignorance, so Shiva doesn't remain exactly in the Vishnu Tattva position, but he has a position that is intermediary between Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. So this is Shiva Tattva. And therefore, because of this, he has some qualities which the jiva don't have, but he doesn't have some other qualities which Vishnu has and Krishna has. And this is described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In his teachings, Mahaprabhu says that all the jivas, that Krishna rather, has 50 qualities, and he enumerates these 50 qualities. And then he goes on to say, Jiveshu ete vasantopi bindu bindu tajakvachit. He says these 50 qualities also reside in the jivas. Jiveshu ete vasantopi. Vasanta means to reside. Vas. So these 50 qualities reside in the jivas as well, not just in Krishna. But bindu bindu taya, only in minuscule, infinitesimal, drop-like quantity. And pachit. Pachit means sometimes, not always. So it is not that every jiva has all these 50 qualities all the time. No. So Mahaprabhu says, these jivas have these 50 qualities, some of them, now and then. Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't happen. And even when they have them, it is in very, very minute quantity. Bindu, bindu taya. Bindu means a drop. However, he explains, paripurna taya bhati tat prayo purushottame. But for Purushottama, Lord Krishna, these qualities reside in complete full perfection, 100%. Whereas in the jiva, it is very, very tiny. And then he goes on to say that actually there are five more qualities that are there in Lord Shiva, which are not there even in the jiva. Atha panchagura yatsyur anushena girishavishu. So Krishna has these five qualities more, and these extra five qualities are found partially anushena in Lord Shiva, Girish. But they are not found in the ordinary jivas. So Lord Shiva has 55 qualities. He has the 50 qualities that the jiva has, and he also has an additional 5 qualities the jivas don't have. And these 5 qualities, Lord Shiva possesses partially, whereas Krishna possesses these 55 qualities completely, 100%. And then Lord Narayan has another 5 qualities apart from these 55. And these extra 5 qualities Lord Shiva doesn't have, but Narayan has. So Lord Narayan possesses 60 qualities in perfection. But Krishna has another 4 qualities which even Lord Narayan does not have. And these 4 qualities make Krishna the supreme personality of Godhead, the origin of everything, even of the Narayan forms. So Lord Krishna has 64 qualities in perfection, in completeness. Lord Narayan has 60 qualities. And Lord Shiva has 55 qualities, but partially. 50 in completeness, but 5 partially. So what are those 5 qualities that Lord Shiva has partially that the jivas do not have? Mahaprabhu says, Tada Svarupa Sampraptaha. The first quality is that he is always situated in his own position. He never deviates from that position. The jivas have a tendency to come to the material world and change positions. But Lord Shiva never changes his position. And then, sarvajna nitya nutanaha. Sarvajna means that he is omniscient. He knows everything, past, present and future. Nitya nutanaha, that's the third quality, that is ever fresh and youthful. You will never see a picture of Lord Shiva or a painting of Lord Shiva being an old man. Just as you don't see Krishna as an old man, you will also never see Lord Shiva as an old man. So that's the third quality, Nitya Nutanaha. Satchit Ananda Samdramaraha. He is a condensed form of Satchit Ananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss, just as Krishna is. So you can see how close he is to Krishna. But yet he is not quite there. Satchidananda Sandrangaha and Sarva Siddhi Nishevitaha. He is equipped with all the mystic potencies, all the yogic powers Lord Shiva completely has. So in this way, Lord Shiva is somewhat like 78% of Krishna. The jiva at most could be, let's say, or rather Shiva is actually 87%, I beg your pardon, it's a mathematical mistake. The jiva can at the most be 78%, that is 50 divided by 64 into 100. So those of you who are good in arithmetic, you can do that. And Lord Shiva is 87%. And then Narayana is 94% and Krishna is 100%. So at one place Srila Prabhupada mentions like this. He does some little calculations. So this is the ontological position of Lord Shiva. But for Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva has another important position, and that is he is a great Vaishnava. He is a great devotee of the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Nimnaganam yatha Ganga, Devanam Achyuto Tatha, Vaishnavanam yatha Shantuhu, Puranam Idam Tatha. It is a verse that is meant to glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam. And various examples are given to show, and analogies are given. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest among all the Puranas, just as the Ganga is the greatest among all the rivers. Nimnagana, when those that which flows down, water or the rivers. So just as the Ganga is the greatest among all the rivers, Devanam Achyuto Yatha, just as among all the gods, Achyuta or Lord Krishna is the supreme. And just as among all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, Lord Shambhu or Lord Shiva is the greatest. Similarly, this Bhagavat Puran or the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest among all the Puranas. So Lord Shiva, he sits in meditation. Why should he meditate if he is the Supreme? The Supreme Lord doesn't need to meditate on anything or anyone, isn't it? So the fact that Lord Shiva is constantly absorbed in meditation means that he is not the Supreme, that he is meditating on someone who is the Supreme. So the Srimad Bhagavatam says that Lord Shiva is constantly meditating on Lord Sankarshan, who is his worshipable deity. And he's always chanting the name Ram, Ram, Ram. Because Ram is another name of Sankarshan. And in the Purana there is one word, Ram Rameti Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasra Nama Vispunyam Rama Nama Varadane. Lord Shiva is telling Parvati, O my dear Devi, O beautiful faced Devi, I am always chanting this name Ram Ram Ram, Ram 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 Iti Rame Rame Manorame. I am getting great happiness and great enjoyment just by constantly chanting Ram, 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 the name of my worshipable Lord, Sankarshan. And this one name of Ram is equal to 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. Sahasranama with Tulya. So if you chant one Vishnu Sahasranama, the whole 1,000 names, and you chant one time Ram, then you get the whole benefit of chanting the entire Vishnu Sahasranama. And because Shivji is a great Vaishnava, he also glorifies and appreciates other Vaishnavas. So again, to his wife Parvati Devi, one time Shiva says, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasma Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So my dear Devi, my dear Parvati, amongst all the different forms of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu is supreme. But greater still than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotees and those things that are connected with him, tadiya. The word tadiya means connected to. So tadiya specifically refers to the Vaishnavas and also to other things connected with Vishnu or Krishna, like the tulasi plant, for example. So that's also tadiya seva. Rupa Goswami has elaborated very nicely in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu one. So, Vaishnav Seva, Tulasi Seva, Go Seva, it's all Tadiya Seva, according to Rupa Goswami. And therefore all are parts or Anga or limbs of Bhakti. So Lord Shiva glorifies like this, the Vaishnavas. There are so many wonderful leelas and pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam and also the other scriptures of how Lord Shiva appreciates, glorifies and actually worships the Vaishnavas. But time does not permit us. Nevertheless, this evening we can all hear the glories of Lord Shiva in Braj and the wonderful pastimes he does here and how he is so eager to serve the Lord that he appears in various forms in various places to serve the Lordship Radha Krishna. So that we will see this evening. So today we should pray to Lord Shiva at his lotus feet because he is such an exalted Vaishnava. that he may grant us pure devotional service. That is the benediction that he is most pleased to offer. Lord Shiva is not pleased when his materialistic worshippers approach him after doing intense austerity for some material benediction. But he is pleased when a devotee approaches him and says, please grant me pure devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna. So on this day of Shivaratri, Shiva is especially pleased to offer this boon, so we can pray to him today. And because he is Ashutosh, very easily pleased, he will surely be pleased with our prayer and offer us the benediction of Krishna. Lord Shiva ki jai, Shri Shivaratri Mahotsav ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna. Time. But one question, no, I think 9 o'clock we can start getting up. Okay. In the evening you can ask your questions, begin about that. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.